environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KBOO needs you. Apply today. Dear KBOO community, we need your input. For the last few months, KBOO has been involved in a collaborative process to develop a strategic plan to guide our work for the next 3 years. We would like you to take a minute to read over the goals we set and give us your feedback. Community input has been a big part of the process, and here's an opportunity to double check we have a solid plan. To take the short feedback survey, please go to kboo.fm and click on the banner at the top. Help envision the future of KBOO. The survey is available until July 20th. Thank you for taking the time to give us your input and for being such an active member of KBOO.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Nappy Farms, specializing in sustainable U-Pick blueberry practices. Nappy Farms U-Pick Blueberries is located at 10280 Southeast Orient Drive in Boring, Oregon. For more information, the number is 503-663-0885 or online at nappyfarms.com.
I'm Dime Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to a clip from Oregon Shakespeare Festival's stage production of Roe by Lisa Loomer, based on the landmark Roe v. Wade U.S. Supreme Court case.
That should be Sarah.
Right on.
We need a pregnant woman seeking an abortion to challenge the Texas law.
That woman is called the plaintiff.
You wouldn't even have to use your own name.
We think a consideration should be given to the unborn.
Today I feature theater outside of Portland along the I-5 corridor. First up, Ashland with Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Roe. We talk with Lavina Jadwani, a Phil Killian directing fellow and assistant director for Roe. And in the latter part of the show, we hear from Vincenzo Maduri, producing artistic director and founder of Salem's newest theater, Enlightened Theatrics, about their diverse production of The Wizard of Oz. So it's a look at what's happening outside of Portland. I hope you'll stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. With me via phone is Lavina Jadwani. Hello, are you there? Lavina?
Hello, how are you?
Hi. We had a little pregnant pause there. Welcome to Stage and Studio. It's good to have you on the show. Now, I want to talk about Roe. It's by Lisa Loomer. It's directed by Bill Rausch, who is the artistic director of Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And you worked with Bill on this world premiere play as his assistant director as part of your fellowship. What was that experience like for you?
It was fantastic. I mean, experience out of the festival, and I couldn't have enough good stuff to say about the whole company, about the mission, and how they really, really model their values and this idea of social justice. It's really extraordinary. I think nobody else in the country is doing what that company overall does, and I think that Roe is a fantastic example of it. So Roe is part of a commissioning series. It's part of the American Revolution cycle, and so Bill and Allison Carey, who is I believe she's the director of American Revolutions, when they came over to work at OSF from Cornerstone, which is an LA-based theater company, one of the ideas they brought to the table that would be one of Bill's flagship programs is the American Revolution cycle. And so the idea was to commission 37 new plays about moments in American history, and the number 37 comes from the number of plays that are in Shakespeare's canon. And
well,
so
yeah, it's a long thing that we have featured quite a bit about here. I'm more interested in the play itself, Lavina, if you don't mind. Tell us of how you worked on Roe. What was that relationship with on how you worked on the play itself?
Sure. So I came on board when we started workshopping the play this past September, although because it has been part of this commissioning program, as I was saying, there's a long development process there. And so, you know, the process between, and Bill and Lisa are longtime collaborators and have known each other for quite a bit from LA. And so that process was, it was just very special to be in that room. And it's really exciting to continue to see how the play evolved. I mean, we, a couple weeks ago, after the Supreme Court decision, you know, rewrote a moment or two in the epilogue. And so it's definitely a play that is exciting to be doing now and is exciting to be thinking about, you know, what, because the piece is going to Arena Stage in D.C. in January and February, as well as Berkeley Rep in March and April, you know, it's exciting to think about how that play will continue to evolve geographically as well as just with our times.
Yeah, with what's happening now and with the conventions and everything and with the election, definitely. It's so timely and pertinent and part of the reason why I wanted to focus on the play. Did you do much dramaturgy on the landmark case, Roe v. Wade itself, or did you know much about this before you started working on the play and carrying it through the whole commissioning process to fruition with production?
So we have a fantastic dramaturg. His name is Tom Bryant, who worked on the play and has been working on Lisa from Jump, with Lisa from Jump. And, you know, again, he has worked successfully with the American Revolution's cycle, most notably, I would say, with All the Way, which, you know, had a very successful run both at OSF as well as in New York, and then was recently
on HBO.
Into an HBO film with Bryan Cranston. And so Tom has fantastic history with the company and with American Revolution. So he was really responsible for, and he and Lisa both, you know, really delved into both the case, but also I think about these women, because that's what the play really focuses on. And, you know, both of these women are published writers and have written books about their experience. Norma McCorvey, the historical Jane Roe, has actually written two books with two very differing viewpoints. So that's fascinating.
So it's about these two women, the woman who was Roe, who I guess was, you know, the main plaintiff, and then the lawyer herself and what happened to them afterwards, as well as the case itself. How accurate? It sounds like it was quite accurate, actually, about the before and after of the landmark Supreme Court decision. How accurate was this play?
So it's interesting that you ask that, because one of the things that's introduced quite early on in this play is the idea that, you know, we tend to pursue history with the idea of truth in mind. And in fact, if you look at this case, there are so many conflicting viewpoints about how specific events happened. And specifically, there are quite contrasting viewpoints between Norma McCorvey, who, as you mentioned, is the historical Jane Roe, and Sarah Weddington, who is the lawyer who argued the case. And so it's interesting that one of the really brilliant things that I think Lisa does in this production is pretty early on introduces the idea that there isn't one version of this story that we're all going to agree on, and that truth is a difficult thing to pursue, I think, especially with the weight of history weighing quite heavily on this case in specific. But I think, you know, we've all had that experience of, you know, knowing a certain truth in the moment, and then as time has colored our opinion, or maybe, you know, other events have fallen out in a way that we might have thought, you know, our understanding of what the truth was in that moment sometimes shifts on a personal level. And I think that this play pursues that idea on a much larger level. You know, Norma McCorvey and Sarah Weddington are often approached about public speaking opportunities. But, for example, when Vanity Fair tried to interview them on the major anniversary of this case, they both declined. So the idea of getting these two women in the same room to agree on how this happened is a great source of conflict, but it's not actually a thing that I think is possible.
Well, it makes for great drama, too, I would imagine, for the play itself. You mentioned there were rewrites towards the end because of what was happening in the news. Do you want to elaborate on that without giving away spoilers?
Sure. I mean, I think it just alludes to the fact that that Roe in this moment still stands, but that that decision, you know, continues to be questioned and lobbied both for and against.
So things can change at any time, and so that the play kind of reflects that then, which is reality, right? So so this was part of a fellowship at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. What did you learn from working with Bill Rausch specifically at OSF?
Sure. I mean, Bill is a fantastically generous leader and is really a great just observer of people. And I think, you know, a lot of times as the director, I think a lot of the great directors right now, who at least I admire, lead quite horizontally and really inspire their collaborators to be experts in their own individual fields and bring those ideas to the table and then, you know, let Bill as the director edit. And Bill, I just found to be very generous and very open in terms of, you know, any idea was a great idea and was thoroughly, I think, investigated and not all of them stayed, but I think, you know, Bill creates a room where, you know, the stage manager's idea gets equal weight to the dramaturg as his assistants, et cetera, et cetera. And so it was really exciting to see it truly be a team effort.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts. My guest is Lavina Jadwani, and she is the Phil Killian Directing Fellow and Assistant Director for Roe, which is a play that's currently running at Oregon Shakespeare Festival through October 29th at the Angus Bomer Theater in Ashland. It's a co-production with OSF, the Arena Theater, and Berkeley Repertory Theater. And for more info about Roe or any of the other plays and a whole schedule, go to osf.org. And I have that info at stageandstudio.org. Lavina, you want a very competitive four-month fellowship. Are you done with the fellowship at this point, or are you still in it?
I'm back in Chicago, and I'm formally done with the fellowship.
Okay. But you're still very connected, obviously, with the theater. It's dedicated to theater director Phil Killian, this fellowship you won. But, you know, you have a very impressive directing and theater credits to your career. What made you want to apply for this specific fellowship?
Well, you know, I've admired the work of OSF from afar for a very long time. I think that look to OSF.
Lavina, you're dropping out a little bit, so I don't know if you need to get closer to the phone or something.
Okay.
Or change positions. I don't know. We got you. We got you. Keep on.
So I think that's what to OSF. As a leader in the field, especially when it comes to diversity and inclusion, and that was something that I was certainly passionate about and what drew me to the theater. And I think also something that Bill does, which is quite extraordinary, is obviously launches amazing artists and amazing work in Oregon, but is really great at using his national network to make sure plays like All the Way continue to have a life once they leave OSF. And so, for example, with Roe, what I was about to say is, although my four-month contract is done, I will continue on with that project through for the transfers to Arena Stage and Berkeley Rep. And so I'll have this great opportunity to work on this play for a year and a half, which is extraordinary.
Well, that was my next question, is what are you working on next? And that appears to be taking care of your rest of your year, at least, right, into the next year. That's pretty awesome.
It'll keep me, you know, quite busy, and it's exciting to continue to engage with those artists who I admire very much and continue to see this play evolve. And then I'll also be working with Dawn Monique Williams next season, who is a former Phil Killian Directing Fellow. I'll be dramaturging her production of The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Oh, how exciting for you. Do you think this fellowship experience is going to help you in your career for your future? It sounds like it is, but yeah. Did you, when you know, it's very competitive. Did you think you'd actually win?
I had no idea, really.
I mean, everyone hopes, right?
Yeah.
So, do you have any other final shout outs for Roe or any of the other shows, perhaps, that you saw at OSF so far?
Sure.
You're dropping out again. So, whatever you need to do to switch around.
Okay, it's a very different play, and it's an impossible ticket to get, but I think that See It Gone.
Yes.
is a new play that is just extraordinary. The production is solid. The script is so exciting and is getting, a future life in New York and in Seattle. But I think if there's any way you can squeeze in and grab a seat, I just think it's such a stunning show about the immigrant experience. And it's just such a very full journey. It has, amazing combat sequences and music and rap and dance. And it's a very, very full production. And as an Asian American theater artist, I just can't say how much I admire it.
Oh, no, definitely that. And also The Winter's Tale, too. So I'm very excited about all that. So I really appreciate you taking the time. Any last words about Roe that you want to give?
No, just come see it. And we're excited to keep, we look so much about the play and about how to issue based on audience responses, and it's so different night to night. So it's just exciting to keep learning from y'all.
Well, thank you, Lavina Jadwani. Thank you for joining me on Stage and Studio, and good luck with the rest of your year and into the next. And it's been great talking with you.
Okay, great. Take care.
You take care. You can get a complete schedule of shows running through October at Oregon Shakespeare Festival at osf.org. And I have that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Next up, we hear from Vincenzo Maduri, founder and artistic director of Enlightened Theatrics, after this short break.
Because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
To Oz?
To Oz.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is the wizard of wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a wiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one because.
And that, of course, is from the song from Wizard of Oz, a couple songs from the classic film with Judy Garland. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio, and joining us via phone from Salem to carry out our theme about theater outside of Portland is Vincenzo Maduri. Vincenzo, are you there?
I am.
Hey, nice to hear your voice. I love that play. So I understand yours is pretty closely tied to that as an adaptation of the film itself, or tied to it technically. Before we talk about The Wizard of Oz, you founded Enlightened Theatrics in 2013 after you returned from college and a stint working in New York City as a director. What made you want to come back to your hometown of Salem and start a theater company there?
A lot of reasons. I think one of the main reasons truly was just because of my family. I have a very, very big family here, and I've always been very connected with my community, my Salem community. When I was in high school, I was very involved and very interested in being a part of my community. And when I was in college, I started taking courses in arts administration, and I started recognizing that the infrastructure in Salem was ready for me to come back and kind of start my own thing and bring what I've learned around the country doing regional theater productions and experiences to my community and to my family.
Well, that's such an inspiring story, because your theater company is very community oriented. But what does Enlightened Theatrics mean to you? How did you come up with that title, that name?
I've never really been interested in making my company an actual theater. I know that there's a lot of places that kind of win their titles, they write theater, and
right.
I knew that I didn't want to be a specific theater location. And so something that was really exciting for me is I worked at the Hangar Theater in Ithaca, New York, and that's kind of my biggest inspiration for Enlightened Theatrics. And one thing that really amazed me and kind of opened my mind while I worked there was the the fact that they do theater kind of all around the community, and it's rather than just being on stage, it's a very experiential kind of thing. And I really wanted to make sure that my branding, the way that I was going to express my art, was showing people that my productions, although they would be, you know, The Wizard of Oz or High School Musical, that there would be something a little different. There'd be a little twist. There'd be a little something that, a little enlightenment in each production to kind of boost the experience. And so I think that the words for me were just kind of, I think they were just fun. I looked them up in the dictionary. I was like, I think this is a nice way of explaining what musical theater and theatrical arts can do to a person's soul and to a person's learning capabilities.
Is that why you wanted to focus on musical theater for this company?
Yeah, well, musical theater's always been my passion. I love straight theater as well, but that's been my goal, my pursuit. So I went to school for musical theater performance at Elon University in North Carolina, and I just really wanted to bring that kind of quality and those kind of productions to my community. And so that's why I've been focusing on musical theater.
Well, I took a look at your site at Enlightened Theatrics, your site and photos and videos. It seems like your musical productions often have greater diversity than many of Portland's musical theater, especially productions. What kind of community support do you have for Enlightened Theatrics?
Oh my gosh, it's just wonderful. It's unbelievable, actually. It's really, really exciting. When I, you know, first came home, it was, you know, it's kind of a nerve-wracking thing. I got a lot of comments that we weren't sure if Salem was ready for certain things or if this was something that Salem wanted. And in my heart and in my mind and in my spirit, I knew that that was not the case. And so I really wanted to push this and prove that Salem does want this and Salem is ready for this. And for me, in terms of the diversity, it's just kind of second nature to me. It's not something I really plan. It's not something I think about or calculate. Really, it's just with casting, I just go with whoever hits me.
But it seems like maybe Salem's theater artists are pretty diverse. I looked at several productions, but you do have quite a mix of people.
Well, what's really fun about our shows is that we bring together actors from around the country as well as local actors.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so for this show, we actually have 6 out-of-state actors, 2 who are performing as the Tin Man and the Lion, and 4 who are featured dancers. And then we have 6 people from Portland and 8 people from Salem.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
So people are really coming to your theater to, you know, coming to Salem just to be in your theater. I also thought it was intriguing that you've invited refugee communities of Salem to attend Wizard of Oz for free as well for this opening weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of the, again, I was, you know, on Facebook reading some articles from local newspapers, and I saw that about the refugees, and I thought that'd just be a sweet thing to do.
Well, so, and I think that's commendable.
It's fun to be able to do those kinds of things, knowing, you know, that this is my company and I get to welcome people.
Make those decisions,
yes.
Them. Yeah. Well, now let's get to the production of The Wizard of Oz, because I understand it's very close or in the vein of the classic 1939 film and that it's very technically complex. How complex is it?
Well, for our show, we actually don't have a fly system at the historic Grand Theater in Salem. So we've had to do a lot of creative variations on how we do everything technically, which has been really, really fun. Our main, our biggest thing for this production is that the scenic elements, the majority is projection-based, which is really fun, something that we haven't done for other shows before. And so we have a team, we have a creative team of about 15 plus people for this show. And technically it takes about seven people backstage to help with all the costume changes and the set changes. And what we've been doing is while we're rehearsing, we have a company that is working on installing new lights and sound system. So it's really, I mean, this show is really taking it to the next level for us, and not in just in terms of our production quality, but the Historic Grand Theater's capacity to provide, which is really, really, really exciting. And I mean, yesterday, we're in tech right now, and yesterday we had the first day with the orchestra and the whole show with lights and everything, and it was just, it was thrilling. My heart was beating very, very fast.
How many people, or what's your audience capacity for the Historic Grand Theater?
We're just under 400 in our theater.
Wow. And do you fill them? Do you fill it?
Yeah, we actually, it's for the last show, last summer, Hair was basically the thing that kind of took us to the next step. We really got a lot of new audience, and that continued with our holiday show, the 1940s Radio Hour. So we are very much looking forward to seeing how this show expands the audience as well. We're already seeing that ticket sales are going much better and crazier than we've ever expected or anticipated, which is even more fun. But yeah, it's really quite exciting to see that with each show, the community gets more and more invested and involved, and it just becomes more and more of a staple of Salem.
Well, it sounds like you're getting an audience from outside of Salem too. Do people from do you attract people from Portland going down there?
Absolutely, yeah. It's really fun. It's really fun to be able to communicate and discuss with people after shows where they've come from and why, how they heard about us.
That's awesome.
I had a group of people again during Hair that came from Portland, six of them that were completely dressed up, all hippied out, and we had a great conversation afterwards, and they were just very excited to have something else. And it was cool to hear that people came down from Portland to Salem.
Hippie costumes, huh?
Yeah, it's hippie costumes.
Well, so in the last minute here, what is your future goal for Enlightened Theatrics?
Well, Enlightened Theatrics, our goal... you know, my big dream is to be a premier regional theater in the country. I want to, Enlightened Theatrics will be the, a place for, new works. It'll be a place for, all types of performance. Right now, because of the, size of our staff and where we are in our, you know, third year, we can do about three shows a year, and the goal is to be able to do six plus.
Wow, that is very ambitious.
Very ambitious.
Well, you've got the energy, it sounds like. Let me give this info before we end. The Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum, with music and lyrics by Harold Arlen and E.Y. Harburg, and directed by Vincenzo Maduri. Performances are July 20th through August 28th, Wednesday through Sunday. Previews July 20th, 21st is the opening. Oh, and the and 21st and opening is July 22nd. Matinee show times are 2 p.m. and evenings are 7:30 p.m. All shows are at Salem's Historic Grand Theater at 187 High Street Northeast, Suite 300 in Salem. Is that correct?
It's actually 191 High Street.
Thank you. 191 High Street. And for more info, call 503-585-3427 or visit their site at enlightenedtheatrics.org, and I have all that info at stageandstudio.org. Hey, Vincenzo Maduri, break legs this weekend. Great talking with you.
Thank you very much.
You take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Before we go today, I just want to give a shout-out for JC Superstar, Jesus Christ Superstar, opens this weekend at Post 5 Theater, produced by Michael Streeter. It's presented at Post 5 Theater in Selwood at 1666 Southeast Lambert Street, and that's happening through August 20th, so Jesus Christ Superstar, big musical. I just want to give a shout-out for one of my favorite actresses, Ithaca Tell, an African-American actress. actress who is playing Judas. So, that is interesting casting, and she'll be dynamite. So, I think you can visit boxofficetickets.com and just type in Jesus Christ Superstar and see if you can get tickets there. So, that's it for Stage and Studio this week. Thanks to Intrepid Engineer Janet Anderson. The post podcast of the show is online later today at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. You can like us on facebook.com/stage_and_studio or tweet me at @stage_and_studio or email me at @stage_and_studio@aol.com. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
KBOO's Saturday morning country music program, Swing and Country, is heading out into the community. Join us on Saturday, July 23rd at the Tin Shed Garden Cafe at 1438 Northeast Alberta Street for a live remote broadcast from 7 to 9 a.m.
Come and have breakfast along with your Saturday morning country music. Also included for those attending will be a ticket giveaway, with a chance to receive one pair of tickets to upcoming Portland appearances by either Riders in the Sky or Asleep at the Wheel.
That's a live remote broadcast of Swingin' Country on Saturday, July 23rd from 7 to 9 a.m. at the Tin Shed Garden Cafe, 1438 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is J.D. Perkin. He's here to talk about his show Island, which is at the Laura Russo Gallery through July 30th. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thanks for inviting me, Joseph.